I watch people say, I'm gonna start my own business, but I'm waiting till we get married and get settled. I'm gonna start my own business. You know, we got married, we live in an apartment, we gotta get a house. When we get a house, then I'll go after my dreams. And all of a sudden you get the house, it's like, oh crap, you know, I'm pregnant. Or my wife's pregnant. We can't do anything right now. Let's wait till they're pregnant. Oh my God, this is the chaos of the first 3 years of a baby. Let's wait until the baby's three and goes off to school. Oh my God, the kid's in school and we're pregnant for baby number two. Oh my God, and the mortgage rates just changed. Let's wait until they're in high school. Oh my God, high school. We gotta pay for college. Let's just get them in college. We'll be okay. And all of a sudden they turn around. They're 65 years old. No shit, I missed it. What are you waiting for? You're waiting for a magic wand? It does not exist.
This is an intro. Intro, intro, intro.
Hustle and Flowchart with your boy, Matt Wolf and Joe Fish.
Hey, what's happening? We're back again. All right, so you're going to get prepared to get pumped up. Are you feeling pumped up right now? No? That's cool. You will after this. Are you pumped up right now? Well, guess what? You're going to get next level. Turn that bad boy to 11. Here it goes. So Matt's going to join us in a minute, but today we have Mr. Dean Graziosi on the podcast with us, and this man is a beast. He doesn't need much of an introduction, but I'll give you one anyway. So this guy is a multiple New York Times best-selling author. He's an entrepreneur, investor. The guy's got over 13 companies. He was just banking it big time. He was just crushing in real estate in his 20s. He's been doing this for a while now, but now he's working with guys like Russell Brunson, Tony Robbins. They're doing these massive launches, huge mega launches. I don't know the numbers, but he talks a little bit about those in here and how they did it with affiliates and all these other cool stuff. But at the end of the day, you're going to hear how this guy's mindset works and how just pumped up he is and how he came from nothing and literally has created himself as self-made man, I would say. And you could do that as well. He actually has a brand new book called The Underdog Advantage, and you can get it. It's a free plus shipping book, actually. It's one of those cool ones. So I highly recommend it. It's at deansbook.com, deansbook.com. So go check it out. Dean is the man. You're going to love this episode. And of course, we're taking notes on him for you. You can get those for free within 2 weeks of listening to this episode, or this episode going live. Those notes are available for free. Those are action guides, so we make them very easy for you to take action on this episode. That's the point. So go to flowchartgroup.com. That's flowchartgroup.com. That actually takes you to our Facebook group, but you'll have the opportunity to just plug in your email address and we will make sure those notes hit your inbox. And you actually get some other notes too. So bonus. And I also want to shout out our awesome sponsor over at Ahrefs. They are a very loyal sponsor, but they're also even better, our favorite SEO tool. We've been using them for years and years and years, way before they've ever sponsored this beautiful show. One of the topics, we always like to highlight something cool about Ahrefs, something different, keep you on your toes, Site Explorer. You got to check this out. And if you don't know what it is, just go to ahrefs.com and it's in their like tools bar on top. And you can go watch a little demo video. Basically, this is a little, it's like a sneaky way you can plug in any URL, let's call it a competitor, or just like some random website that you're just curious to hear or to kind of learn, how are they getting their search traffic, their organic search traffic? How are they getting links pointing to them? Like who's pointing links to them? How are they running their paid traffic? All this stuff, you can kind of get a lot of these details all in one dashboard. I mean, it's not kind of, you get so many details in this, like literally all the traffic, how their trends are looking, what they've done in the last, you know, however long the website's been around. But also you want to use all this information because now you can get some optics and understand how they're getting traffic. So you can do the same and maybe get some ideas of what they're doing. The idea is you can use Ahrefs and there are loads of tools. This is just one of their tools. And you can actually start to understand how traffic is working and how you can leverage it for yourself and your benefit. Using Ahrefs has literally helped us make SEO our number one organic or our number one traffic source, period, across the board. That's how we get a lot of new listeners. We sell affiliates products all the time, grow our email list. Ahrefs is the tool that you need to do that as well. So they have a $7 7-day trial, totally worth it. In a week, you will figure out if you can use this or not. you will be able to use this, I promise. $7 is totally worth it. So go check it out. Go try it yourself at ahrefs.com. That's Ahrefs, ahrefs.com. That is all. Now let's go, let's go chat with Mr. Dean Graziosi.
All right, Dean, we're live. Thanks for hanging out with us today on the podcast.
It's good to be here, guys.
Yeah, man. Yeah, so we're just chatting about the, a lot of stuff happening in the world right now. Just putting a little time stamp on where we're at in the world, but I think it's an important thing to note. And it's going to be interesting to chat about your perspective with, how folks, maybe from your perspective, how they can handle things in lockdown, we're kind of in this election time right now, but in business and mindset and I'd just love to hear.
Yeah, I'm ready to jump in. Whatever I can do to serve. First off, I want to say, listen, I know you have a million choices, a million podcasts, videos. I mean, it's overwhelmed. So if you're here with us right now, I want to say awesome. Joe and Matt, if you're following them, really smart. But I'm here to serve, right? So take what serves you from this interview and throw the rest away because there's lots of data and information coming at you. But I've been in business for over 30 years. I've been through 3 different down economies. I've been through crazy elections. I've figured out marketing when the economy's down, when the marketing's up. I've figured out processes and systems. I've partnered with some great people. I've written multiple New York Times best-selling books, and I've failed miserably and lost all my money. I know what all those feelings are at every level. So today, Matt and Joe, I just want to give you permission to ask me anything you think that'll serve this audience right now in this time, because these are uncertain times. These words are way overused, but they are unprecedented times. Like, it's crazy. I've been on this earth for almost 52 years as of in 2 weeks from now. It's like, I've never seen anything like it. But it doesn't mean that you don't have even more opportunity and more chances to thrive and build that next level life. You just have to shift your perspective in some ways. You have to shift your beliefs. You have to shift your marketing. You have to shift how you run a company or want to start a company. So, guys, I want to give you permission and take this any way you want that'll serve your listeners and your viewers the most.
Thank you. Yeah, and let's take it back, the obligatory, just a little bit of a glimpse of who was Dean before, you're Dean as you are now. I know you have a interesting background. You said you lived in some trailer parks, and you had all these, businesses as a kid growing up, but then real estate, the big catalyst, I know, that brought you into the business world. Take us back just briefly, and then we'll poke into the other.
Yeah, and I think that's just good to know where I come from. It doesn't matter if you went to college, had money when you were a kid, no money, degree, no degree. We all have our journeys, right? But sometimes it's just good to know that this isn't. I started in business. I started cutting firewood in high school, and then I started fixing wrecked cars, and then finally I saved up enough money to buy a wrecked car and rebuild it, and ended up getting in the collision repair shop and. Then I ended up having a tow truck company, and I ended up getting real estate with no money down. I knocked on a million different doors and finally got in my first real estate deal. So I'd work on cars during the day, and I'd drive a tow truck at night. And in between driving a tow truck, I'd work on apartments. I bought an old rundown house, and I converted it into 9 apartments. Wow. So every night I'd work on those apartments, and then I'd get one done and rent it, and I'd literally move in the next one while I worked on it. That was fun times.
Oh, yeah.
As you can imagine, right? Plaster and dust and no hot water sometimes, but those were the things that I had to do for myself to be resourceful, because I didn't have resources, I didn't have money, I didn't have a college degree, I didn't have family with money, I didn't have people that would lend me money. So sometimes when you look back, and this is maybe a little note on my past, it's why I write some of the books I write, but sometimes when you think you're lacking resources, shift that mindset and realize that the most successful people in the world found a way to be resourceful. If I could give my children, I have 3 children right now, a 7-month-old, an 11, and a 13-year-old. If I could give them one gift, it would be the gift of resourcefulness, not just leave them millions of dollars. People hit lotto with millions of dollars. They go broke. They have the resources. Why didn't they make it? They didn't learn to have the grit, the resourcefulness to say, I'm doing no matter what it takes. And kind of going back, I know I kind of breezed over my history. I didn't come from money. I didn't go past high school. I did have really bad dyslexia, so that's why school wasn't my thing. I had limiting beliefs that I wasn't smart enough. I felt like an imposter. I went through all those things, but as I look back, I realized I just never gave up. When I wanted more, I was disturbed. It's okay to be disturbed with where you're at in life right now. I was disturbed with how hard my parents worked to have nothing. I was disturbed that my childhood home that my grandmother owned had to be sold because no one could afford it anymore. I was disturbed when we got evicted from a trailer park because my mom's three jobs didn't make her more than $100 a week. That being disturbed pushed me to be an entrepreneur, pushed me to say, I don't care what anybody says. I don't care if the statistics say it won't work. I don't care if my friends and my inner subconscious thinks I'm nuts. I'm going for it. So, you know, just take that out of today. And then the last thing I'll say, with all the craziness going on in our country, especially, and around the world with COVID and this election, is I think what really serves us all, and then you guys take this wherever you want after this, but I think something that could serve us all right now is no one's coming to save you. Like, just own that. Excuse my language, but own that shit. No one is coming to fix it for you. No one's coming to rescue you. No one's coming to bail you out or pay off your loans or give you the money or make your business easier. It's just it's a crappy mindset that leads to complacency. It leads to entitlement. And I've never seen it work in any human in the history of the world. And here's this, it's liberating when you say, it's on me. It's on me. It worked. That's mine. It failed. That's mine. Like, it's so freaking liberating. I got to tell you a quick story.
Please.
So less than a week ago, I hear my son, who's going to be 12 in a couple weeks, screaming to his sister. Her name is Bree. She's like, Bree, he's Bree, Bree. I'm like, so I run upstairs. I thought something happened. I'm like, what's up, dude? Now, I just converted to have my son in the last like 6 months start doing his own laundry. You know, listen, as a kid, I had a million chores. I had to cut firewood to heat our house. My kids don't really, like, someone cleans our house, someone mows our lawn. Right. Like, I gotta make shit up for them to do. I'm just being honest, right? So it's like, you gotta do your laundry, bud. He's like, oh, right? So he's screaming for laundry detergent. So I go up, I'm like, oh, that's what he was screaming about. Like, what's wrong? He's like, there's no laundry detergent. I'm like, oh my God. Like, I'm like, what do you think your sister's gonna do? I'm like, all right, stop for a second. Dude, where's the laundry detergent? I don't know. I said, if you had to know where the laundry detergent is, where would it be? He's like, maybe downstairs where we store it. I'm like, oh! Like, I put my arms up, and here's the lesson I told my son, the reason I brought that up. I said, dude, you're 11, no big deal. If you yell to me, I'll bring you the soap detergent. It's not like a prison here. You don't have to. Like, I want to help you out. But I want to teach you a lesson, dude. If you sit around screaming for somebody to help you when you're an adult, there's nobody coming. There's nobody going to rescue. There's nobody going to bail you out. There's no one going to pay your mortgage. There's no one going to pay your debt off that you got your ass in. There's no one going to pay your college off. This is on you. And the sooner you learn that you are responsible, that no one's coming to save you, the sooner you're liberated and realize you'll be a person that focuses on solution and you overcome obstacles no matter what's in your way. If there was no soap here, go downstairs. If there's no soap there, come find me. If there's no soap there, get your ass on Amazon. You know the account, and order some and have it delivered. Like, focus on solutions because no one's coming to fix it. I might bring you soap detergent, but there's nobody bringing you the life. And I said, you're used to a pretty damn good life. I said, we fly on private jets. We live in a really nice house. We vacation in great spots. I'm not giving you all my money for doing nothing. So you better figure this out because life's pretty cushy right now. And you could scream to the mountaintops. If you're not kicking ass, dad ain't coming with a pile of cash because I'll ruin your life. And I think if we all take that, I know some people are listening right now and going, oh, that's the way Dean thinks. Yes, that's the way I think. I've been on this earth 51 years. Anyone I ever see waiting for a handout waits their whole damn life. And at 100 years old, they're regretting because they played small, because they're waiting for someone else to fix their problems when they had everything they needed given by God, the universe, whatever you believe in. I believe it's God. God gave me everything I need to be resourceful. He may have not given me resources. Maybe he didn't make me the smartest guy on the street, but he gave me enough to be relentless. And, you know, two generations ago, my grandparents were immigrants from Italy. Two generations later, I get to impact the world. Like, that's pretty damn amazing.
So relentless, is that something you always had because of your past, or is that something that kind of shifted through some process?
I still have it. I still feel like that broke kid, guys. I'm not kidding you. And I want to keep that. Like, everybody says that, like, sometimes we use pain to move away, and then we can use the desire for pleasure to keep going. Now, don't get me wrong. I desire another level. I love that I retired my parents. I love that my kids are going to be safe. They're not inheriting it. They're inheriting opportunity, not just cash, right? I love that this year alone, we'll donate close to $1 million. Not like I already gave $600,000 to Operation Underground Railroad. When I found out what was happening with kids in slavery, I couldn't look the other way. And my dear friend Tony Robbins is a big advocate. He's over $8 million he's donated. When I found out what had to happen, what was happening, I donated $600,000 there. We just passed 7 million meals through Feeding America. We built a church in Africa this year for the first time. Like, whatever it takes to get there and be able to make that impact is something I'm never going to let go.
Do you think that people that don't have sort of struggles growing up have a harder time with success later?
Yeah, I'd love to say no, but also been proven wrong. I have dear friends that didn't struggle. They had the perfect relationship with their parents. They had great families growing up, and they're thriving. But I also see that the common thread there is their parents made them work for things, made them, you know, I mean, I don't, do you guys remember in high school? I don't know about you guys. And if you did, I'm not knocking you in any way. But do you remember the kids that when they turned 16, they got a brand new car from their parents?
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that? And I'm not knocking those kids. That sounds like I'm like, oh, screw them. I was envious as hell, but I wasn't mad at them. I was like, shit, I wish my dad would buy me. I would take it. I'm not going to say, no, dad, I'm not going to take the brand new Beamer. I want to work for it. Hell no, I'd take the keys.
Right.
But I remember the few kids that got the brand new car. They were the ones that drove the fastest, wrecked it the most, and they were the dirtiest cars. And I remember the kids like me, we had three jobs, I finally got a car. Man, I scrubbed that thing. I remember scrubbing the wheels with a toothbrush.
That's right.
Right? Like every little thing was like, I had to work my ass off for this. You know, my wife, she had three jobs in high school. Her first car, she cleaned it every single day of her life, right? So again, it's not that born with or born without, but if life is too easy and things are handed to you, I mean, it's just the way it goes. There's exceptions to the rule, of course. But yeah, I don't think they have to have a difficult, you know, abusive, live in trailer park kind of relationship. But I growing up. But I think they do had to know what the value of earning, the value of earning.
Yeah. I'm actually just starting a new book from Richard Koch, and it's talking exactly about this. It's talking about a lot of these people like Steve Jobs who've come from, you know, being adopted and just this life that they feel like they're kind of thrown away, and there is this kind of void. And it sounds like that's exactly the relentlessness that comes from your action. So what would you say to people who do feel like they've had kind of a cushier background, and even now if they're feeling like, you know what, there's a lot of craziness happening in the world right now, a lot of changes, I'm probably gonna do all right, you know, and they're just kind of complacent feeling.
So I would, if being completely transparent, that's bullshit. It's a cop out. Like, get disturbed with inaction, right? And that's an easy thing to say, but here's what I'd love for you to think about. Anybody who's thinking that right now, let's fast forward. You're 100 years old, dead. You made it 100 years. Fantastic. And you have a chance to meet your maker, whoever you believe your maker is. Would you love to tell your maker the story of like, say it's God. I believe in God. You believe whenever you want, right? But say you're sitting with God and God says, so tell me about your life, Joe. Tell me about your life, Matt. Could you imagine if you said, it was good. You know, there was some crazy stuff going on, so I didn't want to push myself too much. So I kind of coasted. I didn't really have the relationship I wanted, but it was a good relationship. You know, I didn't really have the freedom I wanted. You know, I did want to travel more. You know, I always did want to write that book. Damn, I didn't write that. I did want to go to France, Italy, Spain, and all of Europe, but you know, I really didn't get around to that, but I guess life was good. Could you imagine telling that at the end of your life? You'd be like, oh, wait a minute. Oh, shit. Can I go back? Like, God, can I get a do-over? Because that's what I believe. Like, you might not be disturbed now, but you will be at the end. Why do you think so many people have regret at the end of their life? Like, screw regret. Go for it now. You have more to give the world. Dale Carnegie said in 1950, I think it was, he said, the biggest plight of the human race is that we have more potential and we know we're not using it. No wonder people are depressed, sad, nervous, worried. It's because like you have 10 inside of you and everybody's walking around spending 4.5% of their energy, knowledge, capabilities, and direction. It's like you see people that go for it and fail. Why the hell are they so happy? Because they know they went for it. Rather than, you know, if you look up, Google the Theodore Roosevelt speech, The Man in the Arena. Guys, you guys have probably heard it, but the man in the arena, like, if you're like me, you'll get goosebumps on your arms, you'll get tears in your eyes. It's like his whole speech, I'm going to paraphrase and butcher it, but the whole phrase is, don't sit on the sidelines and judge me. Like, if you want to judge me, then get on the field, get bloodied, get marred, like play the fame. It's like most people are sitting in the stands with someone else's name on their jersey complaining why they're not playing because they're afraid to walk on the field because they might fail. And they go, life's okay up here in the third row bleachers, nosebleed seats. No, it's not. Don't bullshit yourself. You're not happy. If you're listening to these guys, you want another level of life. So stop lying. You're not happy. And it's not greed. If you have the capabilities to make money, make it and give it away. I gave away more this year than ever before in my life. When people say money can't buy you happiness, that's BS. You haven't given enough away yet. I was happy as hell knowing that every $1,500 of that $600,000 saves a child in slavery. That every dollar I donate helps provide meals to kids that might not have it in this shifting time in the world. That I'm going to build a school in Africa where kids will learn for the next 50 or 100 years. Right? That my mom gets a check from me every single week so she doesn't have to worry when she's older. My dad gets a check from me every single week. He doesn't have to worry. If you tell me that's not happiness, you're full of shit. You're telling yourself a really bad story.
Damn, that's good. And you are the first one I've heard say that. Yeah, in those terms, money does bring happiness. It's how you use it, how you direct it. You have so many options.
If you buy drugs and you go or go get bottle service and you spend $6,000 on a bottle and blow all your money and have a hangover the next day, that doesn't feel the same as some of the other things that you could do.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I think this message is powerful right now because as we record this is the day after November 3rd. Today's November 4th. Yesterday was Election Day. We still, as of this recording, we don't even know who the next president is. But I feel like there's so many people that think that whoever becomes the president is going to have an impact on their life, right? Like they're waiting to see, well, if Donald Trump wins, then my life is going to be better in this way. Or if Biden wins, my life's going to be better in this way. But this whole like extreme ownership concept of it all comes down to you, I think is a really important message to hear right now.
Yeah, I don't care what side of the aisle on, there's no one coming to save you. It's all BS. It's all, and you know what? I watch people say, I'm going to start my own business, but I'm waiting till we get married and get settled. I'm going to start my own business. You know, we got married. We're living in an apartment. We got to get a house. When we get a house, then I'll go after my dreams. And all of a sudden you get the house. It's like, oh crap, you know, I'm pregnant or my wife's pregnant. We can't do anything right now. Let's wait till they're pregnant. Oh my God, this is the chaos of the first 3 years of a baby. Let's wait until the baby's three and goes off to school. Oh my God, the kid's in school and we're pregnant for baby number two. Oh my God, and the mortgage rates just changed. Let's wait until they're in high school. Oh my God, high school, we got to pay for college. Let's just get them in college. We'll be okay. And all of a sudden they turn around, they're 65 years old and they're, shit, I missed it. What are you waiting for? You're waiting for a magic wand. It does not exist. I don't care who, if you're here in America, whether it's Trump or Biden, I don't care what side of the island, neither one is saving you. You're saving you. So get disturbed that you've been sitting around waiting for someone to fix shit, that the only person that could fix it is you. You know how you fix the economy in the world? Fix the economy in your house. You know how you fix racism? Fix racism in your house. You know how you get culture where we start bonding as a country and a world? Fix the bonding and relationships in your community, in your town. That's how we fix the world. There's nobody fixing it from the top down. We fix it from the bottom up. Mm.
Wow. I love it. Yeah. So for some reason, I keep going to, because this is all a lot of external. People focus on the external. How about internally? I know self-talk is a big thing for folks. So there's things just circling people's minds. I'm curious of what your self-talk sounds like. It's probably a lot of what you're saying right now. And how can, do you think that's an important thing to start with, the internal and really?
It's everything.
Yeah.
Talk it's about everything. That a little bit. Yeah, it's everything. Listen, I would love to say that I got this all dialed in and every day I wake up, I meditate for a half hour, I'm completely aligned, nothing gets in my way, no one gets me down, no one makes me sad. I'd be full of crap, right? There's still things that hit me. This election was crazy. I haven't watched the news in over a decade. I got sucked into the news on this one, right? And God, if you watch CNN, Trump's a crook, a racist, and gonna ruin our country. Watch Fox, Biden is a racist, a crook, and gonna ruin our country. Like, it's crazy, right? So self-talk is easy to go in the wrong direction, and you have to be obsessive. You have to be the observer of that self-talk. I know that might sound a little like foo-foo, but you really do, because reality is nothing more than our perception of a circumstance, right? We know this. I'm going to teach you something, share something right now you've heard a million times, but maybe you'll hear it for the first time, right? If one circumstance happens, you're driving, you make a mistake, you run into another car and get in a car accident, right? The situation was a car accident. One person gets out and says, oh my God, is everybody okay? The other person gets out and everybody's frazzled. They go, listen, I don't give a crap about cars. It's tin. It's metal. I have insurance. The most important thing is here. Are we all okay? And hey, do you need a ride? Even though it's your fault in the accident, do you need a ride someplace? Can I help you? Someone else, I know I could think of someone in my family, someone very close to me. They got in a car accident. They'd lose their freaking mind, want to fist fight with the other people. Say, how can you do this? I'm gonna be late for work. My insurance is going to go up. My life is over. What's the difference? Same situation as a car accident. It's our perception of the situation. It's the same thing with our thoughts. If you think this is the end because your candidate didn't get in, it is the end for you. If you think it's the beginning, it's the beginning. If you think it doesn't matter what candidate gets in, I'm going to take control of my life. That's yours. If that's your results. If you think I don't need resources, I could be resourceful. That's way different than said if someone would lend me money, I could finally make it, right? It's all self-thinking. And if you think the world's going to hell in a handbasket, you might sit on the floor and feel crippled. If you say, hey, we've been here before, we've got through it, this is all on me, that's a different perception. So how important is self-talk? It's everything, right? People will say to me, Dean, my business isn't doing great. Could you give me a marketing strategy that can save it? And I'll just say like one thing, like I'll ask a question and I'll see their focus like, oh, those damn employees. I freaking hate employees. They're all annoying. I want to fire all of them. Like, I can give you the greatest marketing strategy in the world. You have nobody to implement because you're not leading like a leader. You're a boss frustrated with your employees. And they probably hate you. So let's fix your culture and your thinking first. Then I'll give you some mind. Then I'll give you some marketing. You ain't going to do crap with it.
Yeah, man, that's the foundation of everything. And that's where well, I love that you're presenting this here, because on this show, we love to give the strategies, the tactics and all that. But really, the glue is the mindset. It's the self-talk. That's the foundation to everything. And that will carry you for years.
I mean, let me ask everybody listening right now. Has Joe and Matt or anyone in your life given you a really great strategy or tactic that you knew was killer and you didn't do shit with it? And you came back here a week later and you're waiting for the next strategy or tactic and you didn't do anything with the first one. Like, so many times I'll be in some of our high level masterminds and I'll go to teach something and somebody will say, hey, didn't you teach us this 3 months ago? I'm like, yep. Why are we teaching it now? I'm like, raise your hand if you actually did what I taught you. Nobody raised your hand? Okay, we need to teach it again. It's like people think you go to the gym and work out like an animal for a weekend, you're going to be in great shape for a year. It's just not the way it works. Like, you have to take uncomfortable action, imperfect action, courageous action with the strategies and tactics that you learn. How do you do that? You got to go upstream and anchor in a mindset that you're going to get this shit done and not wait for someone else to do it for you, or wait till things are perfect, or wait till the stars are aligned, or wait till your husband's got your back. Like, that's never happening. So if we don't have the mindset, doesn't matter what strategies you get, you're not going to utilize them.
Yeah. Now, as I want to keep going. Let's see. I kind of want to transition this a little bit to networking.
Let's do it.
And how you transition from real estate. I mean, you transition from a whole bunch of different roles in your life, which is fascinating. And it just shows that, again, the glue is the mindset. Strategies and tactics are just kind of, you know, in due time, it seems like the right one will fit in there. What's your take on marketing? Because I know, you know, now you're working with Russell Brunson, Tony Robbins, and a whole bunch of other folks. In real estate, it's networking. You know, they that's probably the big glue there. How do you approach, you know, trying to... What's your approach with networking, and how do you view that first? And then we'll kind of expand from there, because that's the glue of everything we do. The podcast is kind of one of our ways we do that. I'm curious how that plays into your role as a human, but also
so networking, yeah. Networking with building relationships with other people in your space to that you could have joint ventures or affiliates or
that's right. Or yeah, opportunities and yeah.
Well, I'll tell you the way most people screw it up, right? I'm an introvert, so you know the world is kind of shut down right now, and to me that's fine because I usually stay home anyway. I don't like being around crowds. If I go to events, I hide. It's just, you know, people don't realize that, you know, they see on camera or see on stage and think, oh, this guy's such an extrovert. Like, I've never had a business card in my life. Like, I don't hand out business cards. I don't say, you should call me, we should network. Here's what I'll tell you how to do it wrong. Try to get someone to partner with you, JV with you, do an affiliate with you before you get to know them, before you understand them, or before you did something with them, and you're everybody else. Do you know how many messages I get a week or DMs we get a week? Hey, you should partner with me. You should promote my new thing. Hey, if you just sent one email to your list of 3 million people, we'd make millions together. Like, I swipe right and delete every single one of them, right? Because they're trying to start a relationship before we even know each other, before we've done anything. And I have to tell you, some of the most important relationships in my life, and this, write this word down, it's reciprocity. Do something in advance for somebody and expect nothing in return. I don't know if that's the exact definition of reciprocity, but that's mine. Like, so many people will do something for someone and wait for it to come back. Like, don't. Just do things for the people that you'd love to build a relationship with selflessly, and God, karma, the universe, whatever you believe in, rewards you. And I know that's a hard thing to really understand, but you must. When I built my relationship with Tony Robbins, I reached out and did something for him and his company in advance. I was literally thanking him from the audios I listened to a decade earlier, right? I didn't expect to do business with him. I didn't want anything. I just wanted to say thank you. And here's an olive branch. And I did things for his company that I thought they were missing. And all of a sudden, later on, we met, and we were supposed to meet for a half hour. We met for a whole day. We became dear friends. And now, for a decade, we talk every single day. I mean, right now, we talk every single day of our lives, right? But it didn't start with, hey, Tone, I got this real estate program that could make you millions. You should email for me. Like, that's how most people start it. A lot of people will start. I mean, I just got a letter 2 weeks ago, maybe a little bit longer than that. It's my wife, a client of my wife's husband. And he kept asking for my address, and I said, "My friend, give him our address. I know he wants to send some." He sent me his book and a letter on how stupid I would be if I didn't promote this great book.
Oh boy, that's a good approach.
And then a week later, he literally had his wife call my wife and say, "Hey, did Dean get that gift? Why isn't he calling? There's lots of money to be made." I'm like, "Are you effing kidding me? Like, just write a letter and say, hey, Dean, think what you're doing's awesome. Here's what I do. If there's anything I can do to help you ever, let me know." That's a completely different relationship. That's reciprocity. That's doing something for someone. So just know, when it comes to networking, if you really want to build a relationship, if it's not just you meet 2 minutes, we should do something, but you're doing research and you know that if you two aligned, you could make money together, you could make impact together, you could help each other, do the research. Find out what they like, right? If they're having a baby, send them a gift. I sent Michael Jordan, my era, Michael Jordan, I watched all the games, right? Air. He was the dude, right?
He's my Air hero Jordan. Growing up too, yep.
Yeah, so I wanted to meet Air Jordan, and I knew he had one part of his charity. Back a decade ago, I sent him a laptop, and I cleared off all the icons, and I put one thing, click here, but I sent him like the best laptop at the time. He clicked on it. It was like a 3-minute video on how I thought I could help him. And I'd love to help him with his charity. And if there's anything I could do, let me know. 90 days later, I'm in Salt Lake City at his house having dinner, drinking a bottle of Pinot Noir. And he's telling me about game 6 with the Utah Jazz. Like, my freaking dream come true. But I didn't go, hey, Michael, if you promote it, like, I did it in a way. And here's the thing. I wasn't doing it as a game. The guy gave me so much entertainment, just like you're saying he did for you. Watching that guy, he revitalized basketball. He made it so cool. He let you see the underdog who got cut in high school and didn't make the team could go on to be the best player in the world. I love the underdog story. It's why I wrote the book Underdog Advantage, right? Like, he gave me so much. I wasn't looking for something. I was saying thank you. And then all of a sudden I was there, right? And this was a decade ago. It wasn't like, I mean, I was still doing fairly well and out there, but he had never seen me before. He had never seen my stuff. So just remember the word reciprocity. It'll change the way you approach people.
I think this is probably going to be on the similar vein with the response, but I'm curious, how do you decide which projects that you pursue? So you've been involved in like over 13 businesses. You get these emails every day from people. How do you decide which ones are actually worth your time?
Yeah. I right off the bat, I'd say no to most things. And there's this fine balance of things that can make that align with your heart and soul, because we all push things harder, faster, stronger. And I wasn't always there because I was broke. I'd flip houses. I'd flip cars. I'd do anything in my power to keep moving forward, right? But at this phase of my life, and I wish I started it even sooner, I really run through, does it match my values? Does it match my ethics? When this thing's a huge winner, am I going to feel good about it? And am I going to lose, if I lose sleep over how to try to make this work, will it be worth it, right? We've all had relationships and partnerships where you're losing sleep and you're like, this shit ain't worth it, right? Because we didn't spend that time. So I would think, does it match your values to your core? If it got successful, would you be proud of it? And if you lost sleep over this, would it be worth it? And then make sure it can actually make you the money that you need to make it lucrative. And when those two match, that's when you get a yes, right? And then also sometimes, you know, there was times when I would die to have a $5,000 a week opportunity. Like, oh my God, this thing could generate $5,000 a week and I'd work my tail off on it. But now our companies have grown. I'd go broke if I looked at $5,000 a week opportunities, right? I need $100,000, $200,000, $1 million a week opportunities, right? And that's not like bragging, that's just part of the evolution. Sure. But I remember a time where I obsessed, if that was a $5,000 a week opportunity, holy crap, and I'd do everything in my power. But then after I said yes, it could make me $5,000 a week, but does it match my values? If I lose sleep over it, am I gonna be happy, right? And would I love this? So that's my little filter.
I love that. No, it's a great filter, and I think it's extremely relevant to everyone listening. It's relevant to us, you know, it's relevant to, you know, people just going on podcasts, let's say, you know, because there's all these opportunities. Everyone has a show and you get, I mean, these are just like little examples that we get. I mean, everyone, a lot of people listening feel the same about those. Was there a time where there was like a catalyst in your life where you figured out this filter or you started to get a lot better at saying no? Was there a specific moment or a shift that happened?
Yeah, when you get burned enough, when you say yes to opportunities that in the beginning you're like, I shouldn't be doing this, right. But I think it can make me some money. Like, you do that enough. I've been on this earth a little longer, right? I'm 52 in a couple of weeks. Like, I've just been here a little longer. I've been self-employed since forever. I've never worked for anybody in my entire life. So I just have more, I've navigated more territory than most, right? Just a younger entrepreneur. So you realize that if those things don't line up, it never works out good. Never once have I compromised my values or my ethics or not, like, never once has it been like, oh, I'm glad, but like, it never worked out. Okay. Because what happens is if you don't have the passion, you're not gonna push through when things go sideways. You're just gonna give up and go the other way. So yeah. I would say that probably started in my 30s, more concrete in my 40s, and a complete absolute must in my 50s.
Got it. Yeah, no, because we're both mid 30s. So it's like, it's kind of, well, you're later 30s now. Sorry, Matt. I'm on gray. But yeah, you're right. I mean, I feel like there's these transitions or phases in all of our lives. And I guess it depends on what the needs are, you know, the externals that we feel like we need to support, or the value systems, how much we actually know what we want out of life. I think that's the bigger piece, is having the filters, creating filters that are aligned with whatever we're trying to get out of life. And the other thing too is you have to, and I
would even encourage you guys to both do this, right? As you're growing, as you're doing new things, you got to really take the time to analyze what success means to you today. Because what success meant to you guys, I guarantee 5 years ago, is completely different, guarantee, right? Yeah. If you got married, if you had kids, don't have kids, if your kids are babies, if your kids are teens, if, like, success changes, like, and I should say this, you need to change what success means to you, so you're always motivated and inspired and you have a compelling future to move forward, right? In my 20s, I joke like that, but I was broken. In my 20s, early 20s, when I started making money and I lived in upstate New York, I would fly on a Thursday down to Miami, Florida, and I'd party for 2 nights. Like, I'd have fun, like, not just blow money or try to be cool. Like, I just never had any of that. And then to go down there and the Latin music and the energy and the sun and the beach, and then go out at night and dance, I was like, oh my God, this is success. I'd go up till 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning and then get up at 7 and go take a jog and be happy. I would die if I did that right now. It seems like the least exciting thing in the history of the world. To me, that's the definition of failure, right? But at one point, it was kind of a definition of success, right? And we just got to be honest with ourselves. And the more you can identify what success means to you, the more you'll say no to the wrong things and yes to the right things.
That's great. I love it. Yeah. And if anyone is feeling like, you know, they're just kind of, I don't know, there's always a time to change and really just getting clear on what it is you actually want to get. Because that's, yeah, I think everyone can relate to that. Don't get stuck in the past or feel like that's something you got to live up to, maybe something you missed out on. I want to talk about a little bit more on the affiliate marketing route, because that's a lot of the game that our folks play, and we do too. How do you, let's see, I'm assuming the opportunities, like, so do you do a lot of promotions as an affiliate yourself, or do you mainly, I know you have a ton of affiliates for the products and offers that you already have.
No, I don't. And affiliate marketing's, not really one of our core competencies that we do on a regular basis.
Right.
I love direct response marketing for me. But we did the biggest, so probably the two biggest launches in internet history because we had amazing affiliates.
Correct.
And because I don't reciprocate with a few people a year, that's it. But because I don't reciprocate, like most people say, oh, you want to be an affiliate? It's like, well, you're gonna promote me, right? Because I knew we weren't going to be able to do that. It just didn't fit our model that I wanted to go overboard and over deliver to our affiliates in a huge way. So we knew that our conversions would be amazing, especially like the first year out of the gate. We knew our conversions would be great. We knew we created the greatest product in the world. So we were going to serve their clients at the highest level. We knew we paid out fast and quick. We supplied the greatest training. We just didn't say, oh, this is it. Like, we trained people along the way. Tony and I pulled back the curtain to really help people. So the training they got pre-event taught them how to take it and use it in their own business. Simultaneously, we gave away great prizes. We flew the top 10 to Fiji for a private mastermind with Tony and I. The top 100 came to a celebration party in Las Vegas where we had a blast, an open bar, and comedians and singers. And so for me, I took the revenue that they may have made for reciprocals and said, let's give it back to them and really celebrate them, because I know people work their asses off to build a list and build their own company. And for them to trust their list with us, that's a big deal. And I know it's a big deal and we didn't take it lightly. So there's a couple ways to go about it. If you're cool with reciprocal, maybe you bring on four affiliates and you know you're going to promote them four and they're going to promote you. I have friends that do that. They've been doing that for 2 decades. Right? They have a handful of people they all work with. They all promote each other. They all have, you know, $5, $15 million a year companies. It's amazing. And they help each other. That's a really great model. It's just not mine. I love direct response. And we decided we wanted the world to see our last product. We just reached out to a lot of people in that way. Hey, we're not doing reciprocal, but there's the cool things. And then we sent everybody what we were delivering. And the really cool thing about obsessing on your product is when it serves people at the highest level, it's hard not to get behind it as a calling.
Right.
So we created a course called the Knowledge Broker Blueprint. We call it KBB. We sent it to over, I don't know, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 affiliates when they said yes. And the ones that went through it were their lives changed. It was like game in. Like, this just, my business has exponentially grown. I must give this to my following. And it was, the truth is, I have to tell you, when people say, how'd you guys do the biggest launch in history? It's because people weren't doing it for the money. I know for a fact we didn't have people doing it for the money. I don't know if you remember when those launches happened, but it was people went through the course and they were bought in. Like, you need, if you're in business, you need what Tony and Dean created. And that's a pretty cool thing. And sometimes that happens. We, you know, Tony and I have been in business for 60 years, but you don't have to be in business 60 years to want to serve people. And people need to be served right now more than ever before. This is a crazy time in the world. I'm going to share with everybody. Double down on caring. Double down on your products and services. Double down on the love. Double down on service and listening to people, because people are scared and shifting. And those that serve at a higher level are going to be the ones that come out of this mess and thrive. If you think that, and just, again, I'm not predicting the future, and I'm not a financial expert, and I'm not a lawyer, so take this for what it's worth. But there's no way you could have 20 million and 10 million people without jobs and 1 out of 5 businesses failing right now because of COVID. If you think that another government bailout is going to keep this great, it's not. We're in for an awakening in 12, 18 months. I'm guessing. Guys, please, I'm not a financial specialist. I've just been on this earth for a long time.
Right.
The shit's going to hit the fan eventually. I don't know when that is. And even the decision of this electoral race could help make that go quicker or slower. But know it's going to happen. And those that double down on the love, those that shift their mindset, those that focus on marketing, that build affiliates, that network, they're going to thrive in these uncertain times. And a lot of people aren't going to make it. And that's just the true story.
This will probably feel like a giant pivot, but the last rabbit hole I kind of want to go down with you is the concept of monetizing your passions. I know this is something you've talked a lot about in the past. And one of the things that we hear a lot from people who listen to this is that they feel like they don't have anything to say, or they don't feel like what the knowledge they have is important to other people. There's that imposter syndrome element. So I want to talk about that with you, because I know that's something that you've been big on and talked about in the past. So let's go down that rabbit hole and then we can kind of wrap up after that.
Yeah, let's do it. You know, I get that, but But I want to tell you right now, you're wrong, because sometimes your life experience is what people need. I mean, I guess the best way to counterbalance that question or come back at that question is, what would it be worth to you? If you're watching this online, post it below. But if not, just think about it. What would it be worth to you if you could go back and spend a day with your 20-year-old self? Right now, you had 5 days to prepare. You had 5 days to prepare. And then you had one full day with your 20-year-old self. How valuable would that be? I know the answer. There's two answers people give. Priceless or millions. If I do this in a chat with 10,000 people, there's 10,000 comments. They're either priceless or millions. There is somebody starting off where you were. Your chapters ahead. There's people that are training people how to get through a divorce more elegantly, how to eat vegan. I mean, this is what Tony and I do. We have people with 4,500 different niches who never thought in a million years people would want to paint with wolves or cut firewood better or be better at agriculture or better at hair extensions or being a barber. Like, you've done something or been through a mess that other people are starting on, and they either can learn on from their own trial and error. They can either make lots of mistakes. They can go back to college for 4 years and that usually doesn't work. Or they can come to you and you can help them start off where you left off. And that's the difference. Just think, like, there is something you know that someone needs so bad right now. And in some cases, you're doing them a disservice by not unpackaging it and sharing it.
What's your recommended first step for somebody who's going to journey down this path of sharing their knowledge with the world? What would you say their first step is into that?
I feel like I'm going to give a shameless plug. Go watch Tony and I's training at deanstraining.com. That's a shameless plug, but there's nothing better. Tony's got 42 years in this. I have 25 years in this, and we created the greatest training on the planet. So go to deanstraining.com and register and watch that training. And
well, hey, while you're at it,
that's the best place to start.
Go get underdog advantage as well and go to deansbook.com.
Start with the underdog advantage, my latest book. I'm not big on plugs, guys. I'm here to serve. But when you ask me a question like that, I got to deliver it the right way, because there's some good stuff out there. There absolutely is. And I have some friends that teach it as well. And I think it's amazing. But there's also a lot of crap out there and people that don't care at the level Tony and I do. So if that's something you're interested in, go check that out, or go to deansbook.com and you can get my underdog advantage. And you can also find a way to get to that training as well through the underdog advantage.
Awesome. I think, that's everything I got here. And I think we covered a lot of ground, Dean. I appreciate you, man. And is there anything final words for this episode that folks should keep in mind walking into the wildness of whatever the world looks like tomorrow or the next year?
I think lastly is, remember, your thoughts are going to be the thing that reward you, cripple you, motivate you, or make you feel like you're carrying an anchor across the desert. And really, these guys, Matt and Joe, hit on it earlier. You really got to be the observer of those thoughts. You really got to analyze that, because the craziness hasn't ended yet. It might even be crazier for a while. So I would just share this, is learn from people who've already been there. Be the observer of your thoughts. And lastly, know that right now the world needs role models and leaders more than ever before in history. So why shouldn't that be you? Be a role model, be a leader to your family, be a leader to your friends, and together we can shift things back to where they need to be.
Thank you, Dean. Appreciate your time, man.
Appreciate you guys.
All right.
Hopefully we have a nice transition now, right before.
Yeah, maybe there was one there. Maybe there was, maybe wasn't not. One. Who knows?
Wiki. All right. So we wrapped up with Mr. Graziosi, and it was a good time with him. It was cool to get to chat with him and get his perspective. I mean, I feel way more pumped up. I was already pumped up this morning.
Yeah, that was like, I feel like that was sort of our version of like a David Goggins, right? Like David Goggins is like,
do it.
Just do the shit. Stop being a wussy. I mean, he probably wouldn't use those words,
probably
but not. He would say, stop being a wussy and just do it, you know? But that was kind of how I felt about this episode, was it was a very like rah, rah, motivational, pump you up kind of episode. Nobody's going to come save you. Extreme ownership, the responsibility falls on you. Like, that's kind of my synopsis of that episode.
I would say so. And I think it's a timely thing too. I mean, you said it, we're a day at the time of this recording, we're a day after the US, America's election.
And we still don't know who the winner is.
Yeah. Still don't know. It's chaos, really, like in terms of media and the way that Dean even said it. I mean, so many people have been saying this and everyone, I think, kind of knows it.
Yeah.
But it's like, that's chaos. I wouldn't say the world is chaos, but like it's who knows? But I think that's the point that Dean's kind of making here, mm-hmm. is that it doesn't really matter. I mean, it does, but at the same time, how about the stuff that's happening inside of you?
Yeah.
In your mindset and your self-talk and all
that. I think so many people right now, and of course, we're recording this on November 4th. You're probably hearing this in December sometime.
Yeah, so you know the president.
Yeah. So by the time this comes out, you know who won the election. At the time of recording, we don't. But there's so many people, I think, that are sort of like holding their breath right now going, oh, I'm not going to make any moves financially. I'm not going to make any moves in my business. We're not going to make any moves with our, like, I want to wait.
Stops.
I want to wait till the results of this election, because that's going to have a big impact. No, it's freaking not going to have a big impact.
Yeah, and it'll likely, Dean, I think, ended the episode like this. It's like, you know what? No matter who is the president, and this has always been the case anyway, or who's been the king or queen or whatever, you know, like, you still have you.
Yeah.
You're still able to live a life that's fulfilled, that's happy, that's full of love and giving and, you know, like, caring to others. That shouldn't change, you know, with who's sitting in the White House.
Yeah, well, it's all about perspective, anywhere. Right? Like, he gave that analogy of, like, one person could get in a car crash and get out and go, man, I hope everybody's okay. Like, do you need a ride? And another person could get in a car crash and be like, what the fuck are you doing? You just rammed into me and, you know, want to get in a fight, right? It's all about the perspective. So, like, you know, let's say you're anti-Trump, right? If Trump wins, you can either be the person who goes, well, you know, that's not who I wanted to win, but I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to keep pushing my business forward. I'm going to do everything I can personally to keep my mental health, to stay happy, to push things in my business forward. Or you can be the person that goes, Trump won. I guess I'm moving to Canada. Fuck this. I'm out. Right. There's two types of people. And, you know, I could say the same thing for Biden. I'm not going to get political here or talk about who we voted for or anything like that. I'm agnostic, or not agnostic, just not talking about it.
Right. I got you.
But, you know, you can be the person that doesn't matter who wins. You go, okay, I still got my brain. I've still got my happiness. I've still got, I still know what I need to do to push my business forward, regardless of who's the president. You know, to me, a lot, you know, again, we're recording this before we know the president. This is coming out after you already know the president. So probably don't go too deep down this rabbit hole.
No, but the point is there.
Yeah.
You made the good point. So yeah, I mean, I think that's probably the biggest point made on this whole episode, which I think it's timely and it's great, because, you know, Dean came from a rough, you know, like, just a not prosperous, not really a, you know, he created this life that he's at now, you know, and he had a lot of struggle. And I think that's a big piece of the point that he was making in today's climate. It doesn't matter what the struggles are out there. You can pull yourself through this thing. But the mindset is really where it is. Mm-hmm. But then, like, I like how this conversation developed into other pieces. So saying no to things. Mm-hmm. He had a framework. Actually didn't write down all the, I know it was a very big on values. Are you going to lose sleep over this thing that you're committing to and saying yes to? Measuring the success and how, like, does that align with the success that you've defined for yourself? And I think that's a big thing, and that's something that I know I want to define further for myself, is what is success? Because it's changed since I was 20 years old, for instance, with that question he posed.
It's no longer earning $100 a day like it was 12 years ago. God, for me.
No, those are long sailed.
In fact, if I was to define success for myself today, I would probably put a money element to it, but it'd probably be fairly low down the list.
Sure, it's an element. Yeah, it's one of the pillars, maybe, you know, if you're thinking of, like, the important, or like the one thing. It's one of those important circles, you know, that they mention. But yeah, it's going to be a different number. It's probably a different way you use the money.
Yeah.
You know, you might be giving away a lot more of that money than you ever did before, when you were just paying for, like, bills and, you know, any debt and whatever, you know, at the time when we were starting our businesses. But yeah, you're right, man. Go ahead.
I don't know if he said this or not, but another sort of criteria for, like, should I work with this business or not? I know for our perspective, it's shifted a lot, especially in the last year. We were saying yes to a lot. And then we had a lot of sleepless nights, spinning a lot of plates. Now we're saying no to almost everything and being uber ultra selective.
I was going to say we're sleeping well, but I'm not.
Well, but that's due to external forces other than your business. yeah. So, But, you know, I think one of the criteria, at least for us, yeah. and I would imagine for Dean as well, would be, you know, can I sort of inject my special talent into this business? Mm-hmm. Like, does what I bring to the table add a lot of value, right? Because for us, we're not going to go and get invested in an e-commerce business that, you know, needs help getting into brick and mortar businesses because they want to go physical.
No desire.
Like, there is nothing in that, like, story arc of a business that fits into our special skill sets, right? We don't know e-commerce. We don't know brick and mortar. We don't know, like, we're not going to add a lot to that business, right? But a company like Members Pro, right? A company that we did get involved in. Well, they need reach. They need affiliates. They need, you know,
positioning,
they need positioning, branding. They need to know, like, what sort of features their customers want. They need pretty much all the stuff that would fall under our umbrella of skill sets that we've cultivated through this podcast in our business. Mm. Right. So that's a business that makes sense. Unicorn Equity. They need help bringing a lot of affiliates on board. That's one of our sweet spots. We have a large network. We know a lot of people. We can help them bring affiliates on board. Right. But these, like, we get approached by companies all the time that are like, you know, we have this SEO agency. Well, we're not that smart when it comes to SEO, and we don't really like running agency style businesses. So there's nothing in that business that fits into our sweet spot.
Yeah. Yeah. And like back in the day, if it was just even 3 years ago, I would have pushed Matt further into the agency world. Yeah. True story. But I'm so happy that I did not, and that we did not go that route, because it's interesting the things that I am, like, and now I'm talking about just me and saying no to things. It's very easy for me to say no to that stuff. Mm-hmm. Whereas just, yeah, a couple, 3 years ago, wasn't that easy. And it's because I didn't define what I wanted. And luckily, yeah, and this is a little bit more under the hood, Matt, for like, shit, it feels like 10 plus years, maybe since we ever began in business, you always had this, like, I want to do affiliate marketing.
Yeah.
Like, affiliate marketing is the jam. That's the future. It's passive income. We can create multiple streams of it. And we don't have to do a lot of the we don't do really any fulfillment, no support really. And I mean, we choose to fulfill on things like bonuses and support and groups and whatnot. That's our choice. It's not required. But like, I want to give you a high five.
Yeah.
I just want to give you props, like, legit, because I was thinking about this last night. I was like, shit, man, I wish I listened to Matt. I swear to God, I'm like, he's a little smarter than I think he is.
Oh, and, I can't tell if that's a compliment or not.
It is.
He's smarter than I think he is.
I just wasn't giving you the credit. It was one of those things where I was comfortable back in the day doing things that did bring me sleepless nights back in the day, and I didn't define what success was. It was very money focused because that's how I started. Mm-hmm. But like now in retrospect, like if we go back to like what Dean asked, which I think everyone should do, and I really think we will is go back and like spend a day and prepare to spend a day with your 20-year-old self.
Oh, I love that. And, dude, that is such a great journal entry there. Like what would you tell your 20-year-old self, knowing what you know now?
Yeah, and he literally was like, immerse yourself with that 20-year-old. Mm-hmm. Like, go spend a day with them, and you could journal on that, or however he says to do it, or you feel like doing.
And if you're 50, you know, or let's say you're 30 right now.
Yeah.
Well, one day you're going to be 50, and you're going to be wanting to go tell something to the 30-year-old self, right? So, you know, whatever you tell your 20-year-old self, maybe, you know, live by the advice you're giving him.
It's true, man. I mean, I know I would go back, and there's a lot of stuff I would tell that 20-year-old. I'm not even going to go down that route right now, but I know it's going to be priceless, and it's going to be millions.
Yeah.
Dean told me so.
Well, it's funny that you bring this up, because like I was lying in bed last night thinking about this, right? Like thinking about what sort of success looks to me, and like what my ideal day would look like, and that sort of thing. And I came up with these three C's. The first C is a little bit of a stretch, but I like to collect, curate, and compress.
Okay.
Right? So collect would be like,
Pokemon?
How did you know?
Well, you've been
if I can just play Pokemon just Go, if I could play Pokemon Go, I'd be so, but collect, what I mean by collect is like collecting knowledge. Like I love to listen to podcasts. I love to read books. I watch YouTube videos. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm a collector of knowledge, a consume, right? Maybe consume is a better word than collect. Mm-hmm. Like I consume, not in the consumerist, I buy a lot of shit way, but I consume in the like, I love to
inject
knowledge into my brain a lot. You're not
collecting to put them on a shelf and just let them sit there forever. Yeah.
So consume, I like to curate. So we like to bring on like guests on our show and curate their knowledge, yeah. right? I like to go on Twitter and share quotes and share, you know, links to great articles. And then I like to compress. Once I learn stuff, once I learn like a big topic, I like to take that topic and squeeze it down into the smallest size that I can to convey it to others, right? So yeah. like I might read a whole, I don't know, let me look at my bookshelf. I might read the 4-hour work week, right? And then write a blog post with here's my thoughts on the 4-hour work week. And I'll turn this, you know, giant book into a blog post that can be read in 10 minutes, right? I like to compress the content because that helps me lock it into my brain. And so if I was thinking about like my perfect day, my perfect sort of business, where my role would be, it would be living in those three spaces: consuming, curating, and compressing.
And I'm happy that you do that, because I definitely don't consume as much content as you. And it's great because it's like a little nugget of wisdom every day when we talk. Yeah. There's something that you learned and you're like, all right, I got to give you this whole spiel here. probably pre-blog post, you know, before you write something.
For sure.
Yeah, no, that's cool. I
love that question, though.
It's going to be a great question for all of us to kind of ponder, and also just defining what success is.
Yeah.
Maybe that is your success. Maybe there's something else. I know I'm going to do a lot of thinking on that. Mm-hmm. And we have been doing that already anyway, because this all relates to goal setting, you know, and I know we mentioned a lot, but like the one thing, yeah, episodes we had Jay Papasan and also Jeff Wood separately, that, I mean, it all plays in really well, because I was even noticing, I was writing some goals for myself just the other night, and I was like, man, I'm really bad at doing this.
Yeah.
Like the goal setting structure and really knowing exactly what I want. I mean, I know a lot of things that I want, but at the same time, it's like there's still a lot of fuzziness in certain areas in these sectors of my life. So yeah. it's this is all relating back to what Dean said, and that's what's going to bring the fire to us and the motivation to push through anything and not have a down day if something, you know, weird in the world's going on.
Yeah.
You're not going to get consumed with some bullshit because you're so fired up on your own game that it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know? So I love it, man.
Well, cool. I think that was a good episode. I really, really enjoyed talking to Dean. He's got a lot of energy and a lot of, you know, you can tell he's talked about a lot of this stuff before. He's got a lot of, you know,
well, YouTube. I would urge people to go to YouTube and check his channel out. I don't have it in front of me. I'm sure it's /Dean Graziosi.
I'm sure if you just search Dean's name on YouTube, you'll find him.
Yeah, but go there, because you're right. He talks about it all the time. I think he said since 2008, he's been doing, I think, weekly videos on there. So, and they're all pretty much like this. So if you like this, go there. And of course, get his book. It's called The Underdog Advantage, is his new book at deansbook.com. He does have The Millionaire Success Habits as another book, and some other ones as well that we don't have listed in front of us.
Yeah. And he's got a podcast himself, and we didn't even touch on that.
That's true. It's called The Dean Graziosi Show.
Yeah.
So
we should have asked him how the podcast fits into the model. But maybe they'll be around too someday. We'll see. And we will ask him at that point. But
we took the notes, of course. We
did take notes.
Just a little reminder. Mm-hmm. Flowchartgroup.com. Flowchartgroup.com.
Yes. Join the Facebook group there, and there will be an automation that goes out and sends you the notes to the latest episode straight to your inbox.
And you can get the community as well.
And you get that community at Facebook.
Double. We also have, of course, our lovely sponsor at Easy Webinar.
Lovely. It's such a pretty tool.
Yes, and it's also very useful for creating all sorts of promotions. And I know Dean and all of them do a lot of webinars. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not going to say they use this. I don't know that. Can't say that. But I will say that there's a lot of folks that are using webinars effectively with or without affiliates, doing launches and whatnot, evergreen. So basically, if you're thinking about doing webinars, any type of webinar, Easy Webinar has you covered. They have a fat discount for listeners like you. If you go to easywebinar.com/hustle, easywebinar.com/hustle, get after it. Thank you very much. Share this with someone that needs that little in the, you know what,
punch in the face.
That was more of a kick in the butt, but yeah, it's a very weird sound. Like, I don't know why that sound would be more of the thumpy.
Maybe? Yeah. Well, stand up and kick yourself in the butt.
No, you stand up.
Okay, you stand up,
and I'm going to kick you in the... Okay, go... Just share this around with someone that you...
No violence has to happen.
No violence, please. Yeah.
Bye-bye now. Thanks, everybody, for listening to this episode of the Hustle and Flowchart podcast. For taking the time to listen, we want to give you something a little bit special. Every single episode that we do, we actually have somebody on our team take notes. We basically have a Cliff's Notes version of every episode where you can go and find all of the tips and tactics that they laid out, all of the resources that they laid out, all the good stuff from this episode. We actually have a nice simple notes version that you can find on our website. So go to evergreenprofits.com, find this episode that you just listened to, and give us your email address and we'll send you the notes. Thanks for listening.
Go get it.
Wiki.